Derrida is a leftist, and all of his intellectual work is cover for his leftism. Hi, guys. Great to be with you again. My name is Michael Millerman. On this channel, I talk about philosophy, politics, mysticism, ontology, metaphysics, theology, things like that. And today I want to do a quick video for you about the topic of postmodernity, and in particular, the way that liberal centrists, okay, not necessarily far left liberals, but the kind of liberals who want to return to scientific knowledge and modern individual rights discourse, how they look upon French postmodern scholars. And the reason I have this in my mind today is because I saw this article at Quillette called How French Intellectuals Ruined the West, Postmodernism and Its Impact Explained. And there are some passages here on Foucault and Derrida, Lyotard. The issue is that the characterization of Derrida, when I had a look at it, it left me feeling like this author is not taking seriously what Derrida is doing and what we can learn from Derrida. I'll give you an example. One wonders why Derrida bothered to explain the infinite malleability of texts at such length. If I, says the author, could read his entire body of work and claim it to be a story about bunny rabbits with the same degree of authority. As though for Derrida, anybody can say anything about anything with equal legitimacy, that nothing is grounded in any way, that there's no correctness, that there's no authoritative view, that everything is up for grabs, up to and including the point that the author made, to repeat, that you can say his whole work is a muffin cookbook or a book about rabbits. Okay, so why do I have an issue with that? Well, I wrote my dissertation on the reception of Heidegger among political theorists, including Derrida. So Heidegger was extremely important for Derrida, not only for Derrida, but also for Derrida. Okay, he was extremely important for a lot of people as the most serious philosopher of the last long time. Okay, whether you call that 100 years, 500 years, 1,000 or 2,000. He was important for Leo Strauss, for Richard Rorty, okay, for many thinkers. I discussed them in my dissertation in my book called Beginning with Heidegger. And part of that is Derrida. So when I started studying Derrida, I couldn't stand him and I had a very strong prejudice against him. My prejudice could be summarized as follows. Derrida is a leftist, and all of his intellectual work is cover for his leftism. Incidentally, another author I work on, Alexander Dugin, I think some people sometimes have a similar criticism of him. They'll say, Dugin is a fascist and all his intellectual work is a cover for his fascism. In other words, what comes first is the political commitment, and then all the intellectual creativity is shoehorned in to fit that political commitment. That's what I thought I was going to get in Derrida. I thought I was basically going to get sophisticated leftist intellectual propaganda or pseudo-intellectual propaganda. And I have to say that even though it was frustrating and it took a little bit of time, I found out the hard way, namely by reading and thinking, that that's not accurate. That in fact, when we read Derrida, we learn, or at least we're forced to face, fundamental questions about the nature of meaning, significance, language, truth, speech, community, history, legacy. All of these key themes that resonate in their own way throughout the history of Western civilization, throughout the history of political philosophy, and even throughout the history of religious thought, up to and including themes of mysticism, which is a topic that I personally have been interested in for even longer than I've been interested in either philosophy or politics. Derrida gives us a lot to think about on those topics in a serious way. And by serious, I mean, number one, he knows his sources and he knows them well. And my proof of that is that I engaged with him pretty carefully on his interpretation of Heidegger. And he showed me in his work that he knows Heidegger well. He takes him very seriously. He goes deep into the weeds with him and he thinks alongside him and thinks through Heidegger's challenges every step of the way. Now, Derrida doesn't land in the same place as Alexander Dugin does when reading Heidegger, or in the same place as Leo Strauss or Richard Rorty do, which is why I wrote my book as a comparative study of receptions of Heidegger, to try to understand why they differ. But it's not frivolous, it's not nonsense, and you couldn't reduce it to the view that it's really just a book about rabbits. And so That's one reason that we have to see more in Derrida as a representative of French postmodernism than we can just, oh, look at these guys. They say that all meaning is relative, that the author is dead, that nothing means anything. Anything can mean what you want it to mean. Not quite. That is not quite right. Okay, a nice short volume of Derrida's if you want to have a first exposure. Again, bear in mind that it is difficult and it can be frustrating and it may require you to force yourself through on first encounter. But still, he has a work called Monolingualism of the Other. Okay, the Monolingualism of the Other. And this is a reflection on what it is to speak a language. Now, it's a reflection with political significance because in some cases, ethno-nationalist political ideas are premised on the view that an ethnic community, one that should be closed within itself, one that should not be an open society, and one that should not welcome foreigners into its midst, is defined by a homogeneous language in part. Okay, we all speak the same language. And so the idea that a language in and of itself can be homogeneous, the idea of the homogeneity of language, is something that Derrida examines in that work called Monolingualism of the Other, which I recommend. But frankly, if we started to go through, not that I'm an expert in all of Derrida's writings, I looked most closely at what he said about Heidegger and about mysticism, for example, in pieces on what it means to keep a secret and so on. Really deep and profound reflection. So to summarize this reflection, the greatest philosopher, arguably, ever, but for sure of the last several centuries, okay, let's say at least since Hegel, is Heidegger. And there are people who took Heidegger so seriously that they recognized his greatness and felt like the only thing to do as an intellectual is to engage with Heidegger's greatness, either by following him or by developing his thoughts in another direction or by trying to understand where he went wrong. That's in some sense the history of continental philosophy in our time, whether we're talking about Levinas or anybody else, including Derrida. So my view is that many of the liberal intellectuals who don't like postmodernity because they think that it has destroyed the basis of the modern Western commitment to rationality, truth, and science, which to be fair, in some ways it has done that. I'm not denying the detrimental impact of French postmodern thought on modern rationalistic principles. Yes, there's a hostility of one towards the other to some extent, but it's not reducible to the claim that Derrida and these other French postmodernists are just unfounded spouters of complete triviality or of nonsense, that they reduce all meaning to dust and ash. That's just not true. And without saying about Foucault, I tell you on the basis of my own experience once more, Derrida deserves our study and attention. If we want to consider ourselves people who take the most intelligent figures of our age, like if we want to engage at that level. Some people don't. They don't care. You want to be a talker. You want to be a writer. You want to be a thinker. Go do that over there. That's some sort of quote unquote mental masturbation. But action is where things happen. And you want to go write about language? Go write about language, but just get away from me. You know, don't tell me about it. Some of you who fall into that category can forget about it. No amount of convincing is going to tell you that either Derrida or Heidegger or Nietzsche, Schmidt, Strauss, Dugin, or anybody else, well, okay, Dugin may be in a different sort of way because some of these authors, they write to rouse the masses as well as being philosophers. And some of these authors do not write to rouse the masses and therefore don't really get the attention or the interest of the masses, okay? But if you're watching this, especially almost 10 minutes in now, then don't be dismissive, overly dismissive of Derrida. And I can tell you that, for example, in the book called The Ennobling of Democracy, yes, that's right, The Ennobling of Democracy by Thomas Pangle, a student of Leo Strauss's, the great Leo Strauss, a translator of Plato's Laws, somebody who wrote about political philosophy and revelation in the Bible, okay, I think his book, Philosophy and, I don't remember the name of his other book, okay, but Thomas Pangle, a great scholar and a great teacher, he has a book called The Ennobling of Democracy, which addresses Lyotard, the postmodern thinker, takes him very seriously alongside Vattimo and Rorty, okay, once again, arguing for their effect on modern democratic thought, but not in a dismissive way. Okay, so that's again the key thing I want to say. The liberal intellectuals who are pro-rationality, okay, fine, pro-freedom and democracy, okay, fine, pro-science and all of that, and who are overly dismissive, in my view, not of ordinary postmodern vulgar version nonsense, okay, which says, for example, that, okay, 2 + 2 = 4 is white racism. I'm not talking about that. That's not what you're going to find if you read Derrida's Monolingualism of the Other, or Violence and Metaphysics, or what he writes on The Gift and The Secret. So just be aware of that. The fact that a political position says something good and true to an extent, namely that certain versions of leftist postmodernism have gone too far in the direction of undoing meaningful discourse, does not mean that we can avoid engaging with the best representatives of that tradition. Just like I would say, people who claim we shouldn't read Heidegger and Nietzsche and Schmitt and Dugin because they're right-wing anti-liberals, and they put us on a slippery slope each in their own way to fascism and Nazism and neo-Nazism and that kind of thing. You know, maybe at the second or third or fourth level of their followers, that's true. You know, maybe someone just picks up a word from Nietzsche or a phrase from Dugin or an idea from Schmitt and runs out into the world hoping for the rebirth of Hitler. But when you climb up the chain to the serious expositors of these ideas, they're intelligent figures raising basic questions, giving thoughtful answers and arguments. And it's our responsibility, if we don't just want to be lemmings, to engage with those arguments. And I'll say before we end this particular video that it's true of liberal intellectuals as well. I mean, the best representatives of the liberal tradition should also be studied, their arguments, their ideas, their evidence, their basic principles. And it's equally true for the liberal tradition that at the second, third, or fourth level, there's going to be some vulgar follower who doesn't know what he's talking about and just wants to make the world safe for human rights with no comprehension of what's implied and with no understanding of the alternatives, the paths that are not followed, the sacrifices that have to be made for the liberal principle of freedom. They're just clueless followers. All right. Every school of thought has its highest thinkers and its lowest followers. And as you survey the world today, and as you try to understand the world today, you have to find your place in that. Are you just going to go along? Derrida's a postmodern leftist. He ruined the Western civilization. He just tells us that everything is the same as talking about rabbits. Or are you going to actually go and learn what there is to learn? So, okay, those are just reflections that I wanted to share with you based on this article. And again, don't get me wrong. The fact that I have said something critical about the treatment here of Derrida doesn't mean that I didn't read the book that Helen Pluck Rose co-authored here, a cynical theories book with James Lindsay. It doesn't mean that I haven't learned something from their criticisms of postmodernism. All right. So that's what it is. You got to sort through, see what's good, see what's bad, and make your way through this world of schools of thought, ideologies, ideas, and arguments. All right. Once again, I'm Michael Millerman. If you enjoyed this little speech, follow, subscribe, like, comment, share, do whatever there is to do. And I write on Substack as well. It's millermanschool.substack.com. See you in the next video.